easy of access, patient of hearing, courteous and affable in discourse, and a master of the angry passions which rage with such destructive violence in the breast of a despot. Procopius praises his temper, to reproach him with calm and deliberate cruelty. But in the conspiracies which attacked his authority and person, a more candid judge will approve the justice or admire the clemency of Justinian. He excelled in the private virtues of chastity and temperance, but the impartial love of beauty would have been less mischievous than his conjugal tenderness for Theodora, and his abstemious diet was regulated not by the prudence of a philosopher, but the superstition of a monk. His repasts were short and frugal. On solemn fasts he contented himself with water and vegetables, and such was his strength as well as fervour that he frequently passed 2 days and as many nights without tasting any food. The measure of his sleep was not less rigorous. After the repose of a single hour, the body was awakened by the soul, and to the astonishment of his chamberlains, Justinian walked or studied till the morning light. Such restless application prolonged his time for the acquisition of knowledge and the dispatch of business, and he might seriously deserve the reproach of confounding, by minute and preposterous diligence, the general order of his administration. The emperor professed himself a musician and architect, a poet and philosopher, a lawyer and theologian, and if he failed in the enterprise of reconciling the Christian sects, the review of the Roman jurisprudence is a noble monument of his spirit and industry. In the government of the empire, he was less wise or less successful. The age was unfortunate. The people was oppressed and discontented. Theodora abused her power. A succession of bad ministers disgraced his judgment. And Justinian was neither beloved in his life nor regretted at his death. The love of fame was deeply implanted in his breast, but he condescended to the poor ambition of titles, honours, and contemporary praise, and while he laboured to fix the admiration, he forfeited the esteem and affection of the Romans. The design of the African and Italian wars was boldly conceived and executed, and his penetration discovered the talents of Belisarius in the camp, of Narses in the palace. But the name of the emperor is eclipsed by the names of his victorious generals, and Belisarius still lives to upbraid the envy and ingratitude of his sovereign. During the last years of Justinian, his infirm mind was devoted to heavenly contemplation, and he neglected the business of the lower world. His subjects were impatient of the long continuance of his life and reign, yet all who were capable of reflection apprehended the moment of his death, which might involve the capital in tumult and the empire in civil war. 7 nephews of the childless monarch, the sons or grandsons of his brother and sister, had been educated in the splendour of a princely fortune. They had been shown in high commands to the provinces and armies. Their characters were known, their followers were zealous, and as the jealousy of age postponed the declaration of successor, they might expect with equal hopes the inheritance of their uncle. He expired in his palace after a reign of 38 years, and the decisive opportunity was embraced by the friends of Justin, the son of Vigilantia. At the hour of midnight, his domestics were awakened by an importunate crowd who thundered at his door and obtained admittance by revealing themselves to be the principal members of the Senate. These welcome deputies announced the recent and momentous secret of the emperor's decease, reported, or perhaps invented, his dying choice of the best beloved and most deserving of his nephews, and conjured Justin to prevent the disorders of the multitude if they should perceive with a return of light that they were left without a master. After composing his countenance to surprise, sorrow, and decent modesty, Justin, by the advice of his wife Sophia, submitted to the authority of the Senate. He was conducted with speed and silence to the palace. The guards saluted their new sovereign, and the martial and religious rites of his coronation were diligently accomplished. By the hands of the proper officers, he was invested with the imperial garments, the red buskins, white tunic, and purple robe. A fortunate soldier, whom he instantly promoted to the rank of tribune, encircled his neck with a military collar. 4 robust youths exalted him on a shield. He stood firm and erect to receive the adoration of his subjects, and their choice
在线英语听力室，感谢您的收听，请推荐给身边的好友。